The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
KMED.
Check out Town Hall News in just a moment. But, you know, back to my talk with Colonel retired John Mills. And the Substack he put out is about every day after November 5th will be like Stalingrad. He says, do you think that with the momentum, election 2024 will be done and solved on the evening of November 5th? Unlikely, he says. Do you think any of the 51 intelligence officers, generals, or admirals, or any of the elite personality that has worked to undermine the Constitution will walk themselves to jail, lock the door, and relax on the prison bunk? Of course not. And he writes, you better steel up for a long, hard, grinding slog. Todd, would you agree with what the colonel is talking about here? Go ahead.
Well, yeah, but one specific thing that I wanted to call in, when I heard him say that Republicans didn't volunteer and participate as much, they sat on the couch and just whined. He's right. So about 25, 30 years ago, I was living in Los Angeles. A good friend of mine, we took a photography class together. She and her entire family were steeped in the labor movement. Her family members were labor lawyers. Her husband was a labor organizer and Otis elevators. And so steeped, it was their religion. Mm-hmm. And she participated. This was back when California made sense. You went to vote at a polling place. You had to show ID. They looked at the roll. They signed you off. They gave you a ballot. It made sense. Of course, that's not how it is now. But she said she had to register as a Republican to volunteer because Republicans wouldn't volunteer. And they had to have so many of each party in the polling place. And I had to admit, I didn't volunteer. So he's dead on right. So it's, we can't just sit around and complain if we don't participate.
Yeah, watching Fox News or Newsmax and then complaining about it the next day is not accomplishing anything, okay?
Yeah, and I was very disappointed you were talking about Lithicum and how little money came into him. I mean, I've, you know, kicked in a few bucks here and there, but, you know, I probably could have done more, at least on the monetary part myself.
Yeah, and that's another side of, and I, now remember, you even heard the colonel talking about Arabella. We've had that conversation about Arabella, the dark money network from the left that has been funding a lot of these NGOs behind the scenes. Republicans have been notoriously cheap and tight-fisted with supporting candidates. And I'll be the first to admit this as I observe this, even within my own family. I'll talk with people who are Republicans, and I said, well, have you supported any candidates? No, but I vote. And it's like, wait a minute. How do you think that $2.5 million of dark money ends up going into trying to go for ranked choice voting? Do you think it's just because of voting? Write a few checks for crying out loud. You know, I get that way with some of the people. What, you never write a check to a candidate? And then they wonder why good candidates don't show up or aren't funded. I mean, money's not everything, Todd, but it's not nothing. Okay? I think that's our bottom line.
You were talking about ranked choice voting. So I'm in a car. I'm driving a group of people somewhere. And all four of the other people in the car are Democrats. And they were talking about ranked choice voting and how they went to a class that was put on, and I'm sure by one of these big money, pushing ranked choice voting. And they practiced it. And they practiced voting for your favorite flavor of ice cream. And they went through it and went through it. And I said, wait, stop. I've heard statisticians say if you can game the system by only voting, let's say you have six people on the ballot, instead of voting for all six in whatever list you want, you just vote for your top three, you have more weight than the other person. And then they wouldn't believe it. But what it showed me was there, it's so organized on the other side. When you were talking about this money from Virginia coming in, that's probably who put on this stupid class.
Interesting point on that one. Put on the class.
Yeah. Rank your ice cream.
Okay. Well, which is why I preach against all five of the state measures going down and going down hard. You voted no against them, right?
Absolutely. Okay. I did see a few signs around Medford saying vote no on all the measures. So at least somebody's thinking like us.
All right. Todd, appreciate the call. Thanks for that.
Bye.
Okay. All right. Catch up on a little bit of Town Hall. I'm running a little bit late. Happy to take your calls. It is not just Election Day, but it's also Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. 770-563-3770-KMED. All right, one question I'm going to be posing in Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. It's not really a pebble, but are you what you drive? Can you tell someone's political orientation by their vehicle? How often? What are some of the tells? And I'll give you something that I noticed in my neighborhood just cracked me up the other day.
News this hour from townhall.com.
Here's Bill Meyer.
Happy Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. It's also Election Day, 770-5633. Of course, after talking to our Lieutenant retired Colonel John Mills, you know, he still hasn't pierced my... And it's not that I don't think it's a serious situation, but I'm in kind of a zen mode today. Yesterday, I was feeling kind of really anxious. Today, maybe it's one of those peacefulness of just accepting there's a lot of things you can't always control about what's going on, and you only try to get excited about the stuff that you can control. Or there is a possibility that... And maybe you can comment on this because I'm taking your calls, by the way, 770-5633. I could be deluding myself, and not that it's about me, but I could be deluding myself that I'm just entering into baby harp seal mode and just getting ready to be clubbed. You know, kind of it's like numbing yourself because you know the club is going to be coming. And pretty soon someone's just going to start, you know, bludgeoning you here in Oregon. I don't know. But anyway, how are you feeling about the race? We can certainly talk about that. 770-5633. By the way, there's an interesting event going on in North Dakota, the state I was living in, along with Minnesota, before I ended up moving back to Oregon in 2001. And North Dakota, pretty interesting state. And winters are great in North Dakota because all there is to do is to drink, essentially. And there's a lot of drinking that goes on in North Dakota. And if I were living back there, I would be a really, really bad alcoholic. But that being said, North Dakota has a ballot measure, a citizen ballot measure on the books there that they're voting on tonight that would ban and outlaw most property taxes. Property taxes just boom. Gone. Go away. People have been really upset about these super rising property tax bills because of increasing value of homes, because of the increasing decrease in the value of the United States dollar with rising inflation. See, that's the part they don't want to talk about. So people say, all right, let's just get rid of the property taxes. And naturally, the government types are in a raw panic at this point. But wouldn't that be interesting to do that here? Now, North Dakota doesn't have that limitation like we do, which limits the assessed value going up only 3% per year. Whether your property value goes up or not, it just goes up, you know, that kind of thing. But that's not keeping up with inflation. Certainly didn't over the last few years. But, yeah, they're talking about just completely banning property taxes. What would you think about something like that, huh? Wouldn't that be interesting? No property taxes. I pay about $4,500 a year in property tax for my wonderful home over in East Medford. So about $400 a month. $400 a month, about $15 a day, you know, 10, 15 bucks a day, you know, shoveled out here to the library district and the school districts and the county organs and all the rest of it. And the measure, if it passes, would ban local property taxes and then would force the state to provide another $3 billion or so in replacement money to the local governments, which means I would imagine that they will be raising their income taxes to make up the difference if they go there. But at least it won't, it will not be on the property anymore. Would you agree with something like that? Is that something that you would actually be in favor of? Now, here in Oregon, might be a little bit different. Because our cities have then discovered the really hot new trend of putting a fee on everything. We'll just have something called a utility fee, like they do in Medford and practically every other city around here, or a street or utility fee, to replace what property taxes used to do. Now, if we were to go to just a head count, because that's essentially what the utility fees are right now, it doesn't matter if you're a poor person or if you're a really wealthy person, your utility fee is technically the same. Isn't that for the most part here in Oregon? Does it matter if you are rich or poor? You're paying pretty much the same thing. It's almost like a head tax or a household tax there, you know, each month. You know, $60 a year for the Rogue X Aquatic Warehouse you know, for the good old boy network, you know, that kind of thing, right? Yeah. And it's kind of a head tax here. In some respects, wouldn't having a head tax and having all the taxes being equally divided instead of putting it on property owners there, what do you think would happen to the cost of government? What do you think happens right now, though, if someone who is on public assistance or is poor sees a school bond come up or sees, you know, a tax for whatever sort of thing come up? A property tax, right? I would venture a guess that usually they're thinking, I don't pay that. I'm an illegal alien and I'm renting a junky apartment, let's say. I'm not paying that. I don't have to worry. Of course I would like more services coming from the government. And then it ends up going on the property tax owners. See, I've always said that property taxes should only be voted on by people who actually own property. That's the way it used to be in this country back when this country made a little more sense. But if they want to get rid of property tax, yeah, it might be okay. Just go to a head tax. Everyone has to pay the same thing. This is your cost. This is your cost for the police and the fire and everything else just in the, you know, as they talk about the safety fees, but you would have to run everything on it. Boy, how many school bonds or school taxes do you think will get approved then, huh? You'd have to have some control by the voter on that because, you know, around here right now, all it takes is your city councilors, you know, burping out a one vote more than 50%, and then they get to impose these various fees on you. But, yeah, that's what they're looking to do in North Dakota, though. Property taxes gone. I thought that was really interesting, okay? So that's one topic I'd kick out to you this morning. Another one on my mind, and this is just kind of silly. I think we got to have a little bit of fun. If you can't have fun with the election, why can't you? Can you tell someone's politics by what they're driving? Sometimes you can. I was driving around my neighborhood yesterday, and there's a house on Leonard Street just around the corner from me. I live on Viewpoint, which is about going to be punched into. It's like a little dead-end stub in East Medford. It's going to be punched through in the next few weeks here. But I go around the corner, and I'm seeing a Harris Walls sign. And then there are people in there, and what are the vehicles that they have in the driveway? One of them was a little adult tricycle. You know the adult tricycles there? Looking kind of geeky, that sort of thing. And the other thing they had in there was a smart car. You know the little smart car, the little tiny roller skate? Meep, meep. You know that sort of thing? Harris Wall sign. I don't know if they're kind of into the minimalism thing or what, but it just made me laugh because it just cracked me up because I'm going, yep, I would expect there. Smart car, tricycle, meep, meep, and with the tricycle be ring-a-ring-a. That's a Harris Walls house, okay? Right next door to them, though, is a Trump sign. And with the Trump sign, it was Sunday, I think, they had their motorcycles, had their dirt bike motorcycles out in the front, and a big Toyota Tacoma parked out front, and there's the Harris, I'm sorry, Harris, I'm talking about the Trump Vance Make America Great Again 2024 sign. I'm cracking up. Yeah, I would almost think that's, yeah, that makes sense. Can you tell their political orientation? I mean, do you know many hardcore liberals that are driving the big jacked up and rolling coal pickup trucks? Probably not. I don't know. It doesn't always work, though. But give me your example. People might, you know, when I take my 82 van again and I drive into Ashland, they probably think I'm a liberal, though, because I'm driving. Oh, it's a nice van. Nice van. Oh, you're that Meyer guy. That's a horrible van. We hate you. I've not gotten that yet, but I'm sure there's some of that. But can you tell politics by what they're driving or not driving? Meep, meep. This is the Bill Myers Show. Hi. Good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
Hi, Bill. This is Winnie. Happy Election Day.
Winnie, happy Election Day. It's Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. What's on your mind, huh?
So, I love the idea about the no property taxes. I love that.
No property taxes. Really, so you get rid of that. And naturally, in North Dakota, the government's then saying, oh, we're going to have to raise some other taxes there. But would you be okay with feeing everything? Just, you know, replacing some of that with fees or just replace it with nothing? What do you think?
I think it would probably have to be replaced with something, but I think it should be taken to the people, mm-hmm. you know, and let them vote. Or if it goes, like, let's say, to the city council, if you have a good city council on there, they're going to watch your dollars. And so
one would certainly hope there. Though, if the people wouldn't have the ability to countermand the city council, though, I wouldn't be okay with that, because as it is right now, everybody's been going to fees because property owners have not wanted to put any more on themselves. And I get that. But the problem with the property tax system, even as it is right now, is the perception that if you don't own property, you vote for everything and you vote for the stupid library districts and all the rest of this stuff. And because as far as you're concerned, you don't pay it.
Yeah.
It doesn't cost me, not directly anyway, right?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think there's just so many things that are put on there, like that library district, that, I mean, that doesn't do anything for my property, so I'm just totally against that.
Well, yeah, and the library districts in Southern Oregon are essentially Democratic Party headquarters, okay? You know, that's the way it is in most of these. And if they didn't run it that way, I would be much happier with library districts, but that's just the way it is, right?
They could service my property, and I don't know what they're going to do for it, so there's that. But I'm calling to talk to you about the Zen moment that you're feeling.
Oh, the Zen moment, yeah, because I'm really relaxed, and so part of me thinks that, okay, I'm just kind of relaxed about it, or else I'm a baby seal about to be clubbed. What do you think?
Yep, so I was feeling very anxious yesterday, woke up really early yesterday morning, had a nervous, anxious feeling. This morning, I feel, like you, in a very Zen moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to tell you, because I volunteer at the GOP office, and we have such great volunteers. We stay open 6 days a week, and I can't tell you how many people have come in just to sit and talk, just to sit and get our opinions on things.
Mm-hmm.
And it has been overwhelmingly American. And
it's been overwhelmingly what? Overwhelmingly what? Because you disappeared on the phone.
It's been overwhelmingly American.
Oh, good, good. That's
and
a good thing.
It just feels so good. People have come in tears, like, where do I take my ballot where it'll be safe? You know, they have come in for all sorts of reasons. This is my first time to vote, but I've got to vote Trump this year. I mean, it's just been a very exciting time here in Josephine County.
I'm glad to hear that, though. Glad to hear that. Now, Jackson County, we haven't had nearly the drama of you. We haven't had, we're in a little bit of flux in drama in the local Republican Party. I think it's going to be in a rebuilding mode over the next few months, try to get things back. You guys got it dialed in Joe County for sure. All right, so that Zen feeling is not delusion, so you're not thinking baby club. Baby harp seal about to be clubbed feeling, right?
No, sir.
All right.
Not at all.
All right. If I get clubbed tonight, I'm going to yell at you tomorrow. You know that.
I'll take it, but I don't think I'm going to get that yelled at.
I'm kidding.
I'm going to tell your Jackson County people to get in there and do something with the Republicans, because it's so energizing. It's so much fun. So get it going down there, Jackson County.
All right, will do. Appreciate the call, Winnie. Let me go to line two. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
Good morning. This is John. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, John. It's on your mind.
Sounds like everyone's being optimistic and good. That's good. There is something that it's too late almost, but I would like to say something to the reasonable Democrats, the base out there. I would like them to communicate to their party bosses that it's not okay to go insane with fear just because somebody chooses to vote differently than they do. That's not a very Democratish way to be. Now, is it? Now, this is in reference to the fellow who was talking about, you know, lawfare Stalingrad coming up.
Yeah, Colonel Mills.
We all knew that was coming. Mm-hmm. But I'm looking at the leadership that the Democrats are giving us these days. They need a 20-year time out. Because maybe the next generation can at least seem reasonable. The Republican Party survived that from 1932 to 52 and came out fine. They need to just relax, chill, let things be. That's all I wanted to say to the Democrats out there who might be listening in.
All right. Appreciate the call. Thanks for making it on Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. Let me go to line four. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
Good morning, Bill. This is Jim.
Hey, Jim, what's on your mind, huh?
Hi. Anyway, one thing I want to comment on as far as North Dakota is the one difference between what goes on there and, say, our county, for instance, is the fracking allows them, their coffers to be, you know, so rich with money, just like what happened with us back in the day of our timber heyday.
That's a very interesting point. Yeah, you are right about that. So you're thinking then that they have the ability to just end their property taxes and experiment differently. Okay, try a different way. Would you be okay with that, though, here in Oregon, if we just eliminated property tax and funded local services separately? I would prefer something that's not just burdening people based on whether they have a house or not. I'm not a big fan of that.
Yeah, I am, too. I mean, the city is going crazy with their fees. I don't know what the water bill is, and then they charge you for sewer, and, you know, they just there's no end to it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, just back to the timber industry, that was our natural resource. Remember that's the word they used to use. It belonged to all of us. And when the county was formed, actually, for instance, there was a range and township. There are two ranges and townships within the county that were set aside for the school system, and they were funded through timber sales on that property. Throughout the whole country, that's the way it used to be, you know, that had timber. So,
and you know, you're right about that. I don't know if it's exactly that mechanism as you speak of. The only challenge, yeah. and I know a lot of people running for office have gone out there and say, we're going to get out into the woods. Unfortunately, at this point in time, without major changes and sending Democrats to the gulag, the political gulag, so to speak, in the Senate, the state or the U.S. Senates out on the West Coast have had absolutely everything to do with there being no use of that natural resource. And right now, the highest use for that natural resource is to be burned in prescribed burning. Okay? That's where we are right now, though, Jim. That's the reality of where we are. Okay? Thanks for the call, though, and your opinion. 770-5633. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome. Hello, hello.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead. Yes, it is. Who's this?
Wow, I just called in.
Oh, I'm glad you made it. Okay, I'm just hitting the lines as they're going. Who's this?
Well, I just want to, I know you're going to get a kick out of this about who type of politics and car. By the way, I'm your buddy over in Idaho. I'm an Oregon refugee.
Oh, good for you. Glad to hear from you.
Mm-hmm. I actually bought a Prius down in, what's the name of that? A company down in Medford, Toyota.
What, Lithia?
Lithia, that's it. I bought a brand new Prius Prime,
mm-hmm.
and believe me, I'm a conservatarian. And living in Idaho, I thought it'd be a good idea if I put something on the car.
Yeah.
Since I live in a rural area, I'm in a town so small the city limit signs are back to back.
I can imagine that. So are you concerned then about driving what is what was considered in some places a liberal car, so to speak?
Well, it's a Prius Prime, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a really nice car, by the way.
They are good cars. They really are.
Yeah, and I bought a license plate frame off of Amazon
mm-hmm.
that says I bought the car for the gas mileage.
Do they leave you alone?
That's why I did. That's why I bought the car, and I bought it for the reliability.
Yeah, do they leave you alone, though?
My mother's 20-year-old Buick, and the thing got terrible mileage.
Uh-huh.
I retired. I said, I want to get a new car. I had four new motorcycles in my life. I want to get a new car, and I'm glad I did.
It's working out for you, though, but you're right. Can you tell most of the time, though, someone's political orientation for what they're driving?
For the most part, yeah. Idaho, it's a little different, though. The people here are different. It's
mm-hmm.
interesting. Even if you go into Boise, it's still an Idaho attitude it's very uplifting. I can joke with people, kid with people, and they instantly respond to me. And this is the first area I've ever lived where they do that.
So there's a sense of humor still in the culture.
There is.
Oh.
The people, even in Boise, the big city, you know, so I like to say all the way to Raleigh,
uh-huh.
It's It's an attitude difference here. It's really strange, but I really do miss the Rogue Valley.
Yeah.
I miss living there, and you know, I worked at the VA, and I lived in White City, and I miss the area so much.
Yeah, well, I love this area.
What
this is
do?
This is home, but yeah, I get it. But I can you can appreciate both. Thanks for the report. I really appreciate that. So he's driving a Prius, but says I bought it for the gas mileage. That's great.
Hi, it's John at Wellburn's Weapons. The only thing better than shooting is shooting with a suppressor. Wellburn's is Southern Oregon's suppressor headquarters, stocking models from Silencer Code, Dead Air, Griffin Armament, Rugged, Q, Thunderbeast, and many more. And we can order practically any suppressor on the market. Check in with us for monthly incentives to save on suppressors, too. Come see the suppressor experts. Wellburn's Weapons on Crater Lake Highway, just south of White City.
Just look at it.
It looks great in the moonlight.
And talk about quiet operation. We're not waking up the neighbors.
So smooth and sleek. American Industrial Door knows their stuff.
Okay, it's my turn. Give me the remote.
Mom? Dad?
Yeah?
Are you gonna stop playing with the new garage door soon?
Go back to bed, sweetie.
If your garage door is keeping you up at night, it should be for all the right reasons. Visit AmericanIndustrialDoor.net.
Stewardship. That means taking great care of the people and the things we've been entrusted with. Hi, this is Lisa from Kelly's Automotive Service in Grants Pass in Medford. Being good stewards is a value at the core of our business. Every interaction, every transaction is another opportunity to do the right thing. If you're looking for a new shop to bring your vehicle, or maybe you're a technician who wants to be part of something bigger, we'd love to meet you. You can find us on the web at kellysautomotive.com. We're Kelly's Automotive Service, where we service your vehicle, but take care of you.
At Freddy's Diner, you may be occasionally surprised.
I guess I'll look at the menu, but I've got this thing practically memorized.
Wait, what's this? An 8-ounce New York steak? Beer-battered salmon? Salmon Diablo?
Welcome to Freddy's. Are you ready to order?
I'm gonna need a few more minutes.
He's got plenty of time to decide. Freddy's is open 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day for lunch and dinner. Freddy's Diner on Main in Old Town Eagle Point.
The Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
By the way, that smoked prime rib, mwah, at Freddy's. Love it. 19 before 8. Joel's over in the Iron Gate. Hey, Joel, how many wild horses rolling into your neighborhood right now? Huh? Hey, Joel? Hey, Joel, how many wild horses rolling into your neighborhood? What's the story there?
About 30 horses just rolled in.
No kidding.
Some of them got Captain Bill's brand on them.
Uh-huh.
And, I've got water out there for them in tubs and big saucer bowls.
Good for you. I'm glad you're helping take care of you, helping in your community. We're going to talk with Captain Bill here in about a half hour about how taxpayers are going to be on the hook for some ceremonial burns. I think it's going to be pretty interesting, Joel. I hope you listen to that, okay? Of course, Captain Bill doing his thing over for the wild horses or two. Standing by, we have Josephine County Commissioner Herman Bertschiger. We always talk a little bit about politics and things, and I don't know if he's in a zen mood or not. I'm in the zen mood right now, just kind of relaxed, and could be because I'm just the political baby harp seal about to be clubbed. We'll find out that maybe we're just delusional. I don't know. We'll find out.
When was the last time you had your well water test?
106.7 KMED.
I'm feeling very zen, kind of relaxed going into Election Day, Election Day Tuesday. I thought I'd play a little bit of spa music for me. And Josephine County Commissioner Herman Bertschiger. Hey, Herman, welcome back. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing pretty good, you know, listening a little bit of that ocean music.
Yeah,
know?
All you have to do is, if we could just take the little dipper and just pour it on the hot rocks, is that okay? You just do that for me?
There you go. Maybe I will fire up the sauna today, you know?
Oh, you have a sauna? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that is so cool. Actually, it's hot, but that's very, 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 very cool. I like that. I love one of those. I was just noting earlier this morning, now I don't know if it is a data point worth mentioning or not, but I couldn't help but notice that the early voting game doesn't seem to be working to the same extent for the Democrats as it has in years past. And Part of me is wondering if this is due to perhaps a lack of enthusiasm for Kamala. Are you thinking that this is just going to be a late election game for them this time? But they're behaving in a very different fashion from past election patterns. And usually the Democrats don't change that much, do they? Where am I wrong, right or wrong on that? Herman? Did we lose you, Herman?
Okay.
I think we did lose him. Maybe he's in the spa. Let me see if I get a hold of him. I'll get him right back on. Give me just a minute.
Disasters happen, and Oregon faces a range of disaster threats, including earthquakes, floods, and storms. You can prepare now by taking three important steps. Step one, contact your insurance company to make sure you have the right amounts and types of coverage. Step two, create a home inventory by taking photos or videos of your possessions in each room of your home. Step three, gather and make copies of important identifying and financial documents. Store them in the cloud or another secure location. These three actions can help you and your community be more resilient in the face of disaster. Be disaster ready by being insurance ready. Visit dfr.oregon.gov/prepare now to learn how. This message brought to you by the Oregon Division of Financial Regulation, the Oregon Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side, your Sleep Number setting. And now, during our Veterans Day sale, save 40% on the Sleep Number Special Edition smart bed, plus free home delivery with any base. Ends Monday. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com.
Honestly, provocative talk radio on the Lars Larson Show.
You remember 4 years ago when we had that crazy election, and what did the Democrats do? They decided to use it as an excuse to monkey with the election rules in various states around America. And what we got out of that? I don't care if you say otherwise, we got a fraudulent election. And yes, conservatives like me are allowed to say that.
Lars, catch him live noon to 3 on News Talk 106.3. KMED, you're hearing the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
All right, 10 before 8. I don't know if we just had a network bump out there or something like that, but yeah, it's a little... we lost Herman, and I wasn't able to get him back on either. I'm not exactly sure what happened. And then Facebook Live ended up dying at the same time. So, little bit of election... network instability could be going on. Okay. So I don't know. Is the phone working here? Okay, yeah. Phones are working. Just a matter. All right. If you wanted to join in, 770-5633. I don't know if we ended up having a network outage in Jackson and or Josephine County or just kind of, went nutty all at once. Well, this is the sort of stuff. Maybe that's going to interrupt some of my Zen attitude at the moment, all right? 770-5633, 770-KMED. All right. Keith writes me about this, and the emails are still working at this moment. Bill, 3 weeks to count ballots? Really pathetic. How many snowflakes do we know that don't even vote? I don't know. 770-5633. Let me see if that was Herman trying to get a hold of me. Sorry to... Yeah. Says, my phone is busy. Okay. Try it again, Herman. See if that works again. All right. Some other emails this morning. Darren and Tammy write me, Bill, on the subject of endorsements, I couldn't believe that the Medford-Jackson County Chamber endorsed Pam Marsh. She's hurting everyone in Jackson County with her far-left policies, especially the fire map. Disgusting. You know something, Darren? That's something that I've been talking about for quite some time. And I don't understand why it is that there seems to be such respect shown for Pam Marsh and, of course, Senator Jeff Golden as they continue to go out and about within public here in Southern Oregon. And the endorsement did not make any sense to me. It really didn't. Okay? And it's 7:52. Sorry, I got my cell phone ringing and everything's bonging and... Let me try getting a hold of Herman. I might be able to get him in there. This is when it'd be nice to have a call screener. Let me try getting a hold of Herman, all right? Just going to dial him live on air here. Dial him. There's an old term, right? At least you know we're live, right? Huh? I think we got him.
Hey, you do. That was an interesting morning.
Well, yeah. Well, it's like there was network instability. Everything just kind of dumped out all at once. Facebook Live went down. Phones went down. All sorts of other things. So I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what happened with that.
And your line was just busy all the time.
Yeah? So okay. And I kept calling you and it was busy too. So anyway.
All right. So what do we want to talk about?
Well, what I was talking about before we, you know, that Zen thing, I was in that Zen mode and then all this happened. I'm starting to think, gosh, I'm hoping that this doesn't interrupt with the count. And we start seeing network instabilities and various other things. But I couldn't help but notice that Democrats are not taking part in early voting like they were. It's very outside their pattern. It's also been looking that way in the state of Oregon, too. We're looking at turnout at about 50%, while we're looking at 60, 65, 70% turnout in Jackson, Josephine County is what we're looking at right now. And is this just going to be a hunt for ballots, or are they just changing their voting patterns all of a sudden this year? Or is it just a lack of enthusiasm for Kamala, maybe making it look different this time around? How do you see it, being the old political dog that you are?
Well, specifically for Oregon, since we can turn in ballots for another week, I'm not gonna think too much about it.
You're not.
I have a funny feeling a bunch of ballots are going to show up.
Hmm.
So I cannot imagine the Democrat machine in Oregon aren't out collecting ballots right now.
Okay, so this is just a head fake, in other words, to see low early
voting. Well, I don't know. I just can't imagine them not doing that.
Hmm.
You know, harassing people, making the rounds through the retirement homes and stuff like that.
Okay, all right. We'll see how that ends up playing out. Now, do you know the rules? Do they have to have a postmark, or don't they have to have a postmark on the mail-in? Do we know? Is there a solid answer on that? I'm not sure.
Well, I think there's the rules, and then there's the question, do we obey the rules? So it's supposed to be postmarked by 8 p.m. tonight, but I think if it can get in the clerk's hands in the next week, I think it'll get in the clerk's hands in the next week.
And that's all that matters then?
Hmm. Yep, but the rule is postmarked by 8 p.m.
Postmarked by 8 p.m., all right.
Yep.
All right.
So I don't know how the post office postmarks by 8 p.m., but I think if ballots show up that aren't even postmarked, they show up. They say, well, they showed up.
If we have a large amount of that coming in, like all of a sudden a bunch of ballots just shows up, then it might be time to engage in some lawfare. Would you agree on that? If all of a sudden, is all of a sudden, just in time, just in time to save the day.
Listen, it doesn't take a lead brick to fall on my head to know that because so many people can handle ballots in the mail-in ballot scheme, there's just so many things can happen, Bill. Hmm. I mean, so many people can be in possession of these ballots, and not just the voter. I mean, a lot of people can be in possession of them. So I just don't have that much confidence.
All right.
I'm sorry.
Now, in Joe County, though, as far as the local races, you can probably have some confidence on that, right?
Yeah.
Because if there's going to be election hinky, it has to look plausible. That's the one thing I think you have to keep in mind. If there is going to be any kind of an election irregularity, it always has to pass a bit of the plausibility test, the smell test, which is why I always get suspicious when, gosh, you know, there's 2-3 points separating the presidential candidates, and then all of a sudden on election day, it's a dead tie, Herman. Every time, I swear. It's like, oh, come on. Oh, come on.
Well, I have pretty high confidence in our county clerk. What I don't have confidence in is once this stuff leaves the county and goes to the Secretary of State, my confidence starts to diminish.
Okay, so that's where you think the weakness is. Now, I wanted to ask you about some local politics here. With Commissioner John West, the recall effort, they got the signatures? They got enough signatures at this point to move ahead?
Well, they turned in enough signatures. Now they're going to have to all be verified, make sure that they're registered voters in Josephine County, and does the signature match and all that stuff. So we're not going to know anything about that until the end of the month.
Okay. What is really driving that recall, in your opinion? Because I think it's one of the biggest wastes of time. I thought the recall of the mayor in Grants Pass was not a good idea back at the time, too, but this is not coming from that same group.
Well, I think the strategy is, from the left, is to get their two candidates elected as commissioner and then recall John in the spring, John West in the spring, and then those two candidates get to pick the third candidate, and they'll have three liberal commissioners in Josephine County. Kaboom!
Oh, okay. Well, wouldn't two be enough?
Yeah, but they, you know, three's better. Well, here's the other scenario.
Okay.
Here's the other scenario.
That would be rarely interesting if the candidate favored by liberals, if there were three of them on the county commission in Josephine County. That is very hard right when you look at it politically and its demographics.
Yeah, so here's the other scenario. Say the liberals get one of their candidates in, then they recall Commissioner West in the spring. So now you have one liberal candidate, one conservative candidate. They can't come to an understanding or a consensus on who to pick for the third commissioner. So then the other elected officials get to pick.
The other elected officials? Who are the other elected officials?
So like the sheriff and the treasurer, and the assessor and the surveyor.
No wonder that treasurer's race is an important race. I didn't think about that part of it. I didn't know that aspect.
So that's the strategy.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, it'll be really interesting when we see those results come in. We got a lot less drama in Jackson County this time around. You got a lot of intrigue up there. I don't know.
There's a big fight, and you know, I'm just amazed. So we have a couple individuals who moved to Josephine County from the East Coast. One was the former chairman of the Democratic Party, and now the current chairman of the Democratic Party, who just moved here a year ago. And, man, they have been pouring the effort into flip Josephine County to a blue county. And I don't know how you do that when we're 2-1 on the voter registration. But, boy, they're working hard.
Well, I guess you just bring in enough from Team Chaos. You know, I think that they put a little registered trademark next to Team Chaos name, and there's all sorts of stuff. Yeah, because they have Republicans fighting Republicans in Josephine County right now.
Well, they're not Republican. We've had a bunch of people that are longtime liberals who have changed their party affiliation to Republican.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and that's what you meant. That's what you mean by Team Chaos.
Yeah. Now, final question I have for you at this point, and I don't know if we had much of a chance to talk about it last week. I think we mentioned it just briefly here with Kim Wallen endorsing Tobias Reid. Now, given that you were dressed down by the party back in the day when you ended up endorsing Betsy Johnson, right? Now, you did that for a political strategy to try to help Christine Drazen, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Didn't work, but that was your intent. And they still went after you, right?
Oh, well, that's because they failed. You know, some of them have really backed off at that. And it never was officially done by the party.
I know.
It was done. But anyways, but that, you know, like I said, listen. To all you Republicans listening, you are not going to win a statewide race in Oregon simply because of the voter rolls unless you have a third-party candidate. That's how we got Dennis Richardson elected, is we had a third-party candidate that drew off some of the – it was the Green Party.
Yeah, it siphoned off. Didn't it siphon off about 4% or 5%, if I recall?
Right, and you're not going to do it, so – We, you know, Johnson was a spoiler. We call that a spoiler. she did really, really, really well, and everything was working fine until October, and then it just all fell apart.
It's almost like she peaked too soon, right?
Well, that, and you got to remember, Tina Kotek collected $30 million, mostly from out of state. And if you do the math, that's almost she had $20 to spend on every single registered Democrat. And so she had the money to go out there and personalize the message and pull those Democrats back off. So it didn't work. And, you know, we had Carter, who was the former chair of the Democrat Party, and myself, who was a former chair of the Republican Party. And we thought by us doing that, it would pull votes. But, you know, it was a Hail Mary. Nobody else had a better idea. Drazen's campaign didn't like it, of course, but they knew what was going on. But it just simply, and I wasn't the only Republican. U.S. Senator Gordon Smith, Senator Brian Boqvist. There was a whole bunch of Republicans, and there was a whole bunch of Democrats, and it just didn't work, Bill.
Okay. Now that's not what's happening with Kim Wallen's endorsement, though, of Tobias Raitt for Secretary of State, right?
Maybe Kim is going to take on Golden the next go-around, and so she's looking more moderate because, unfortunately, in Jackson County, because the southern end of the county, they're never going to vote for a stark conservative down there.
Uh-huh.
But you may get them to vote for somebody that comes across moderate.
Huh.
So
I was wondering if either Kim was going to leave the market or was planning on either taking on Golden or some other position. It would be good one way or the other to get Golden out. I'm still amazed that the fire map has not been tapped onto Golden and fire map Marsh as much as it should be at this point. What do you think?
Well, it will down the road because nobody's hurting yet. Okay, or not very many people are. Wait till this thing is implemented and it starts squeezing people. Then Golden's going to have some trouble.
All right, very good. All right, Herman. Well, I'm going to stay in my Zen meeting, or my Zen way of thinking here right now. We'll just let the counts begin, and then we'll see if the magical Democratic votes just manage to show up in the U.S. mail within, seven days from now. Okay? Well, we won't know for sure.
Yeah, unless it's overwhelming, you know. But other than that, I think we can go like 3 weeks after the election before it can be certified. 3 weeks.
Yeah, that doesn't much make sense. That doesn't make a lot of sense, but I pine for a day in which America made a little more sense than it is right now, and let's hope we can make there. I mean, it took us a long time to get here. It's going to be incremental steps back, probably. All right, thanks, Herman. We'll talk next week. Okay,
all right, you take care.
All right. Bye.